Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. I drove past a local pond this week, and there was a sign posted which read, "Unsafe ice, no skating." I had flashbacks to my youth of skating and playing pond hockey all winter long. There was a town pond with skate guards and a bonfire alongside the ice. The other was a man-made large 4-acre pond. The depth of this pond was only about 2 feet deep, so it froze quickly and stayed frozen all winter long. Hey, no Zambonis on pond hockey ice. So every week, I always hear in the news about someone, typically a child, being rescued from unsafe ice. So what is considered safe? So what I did is I researched many states, looked at their rules, as well as an engineering firm who correlates thickness and load, which is the weight of an object. So all the rules, they were all very close to each other. So what I'm going to discuss is a generalization and a compilation of all the rules. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So here are the rules. Ice less than 3 inches is considered unsafe. So now let's get to ice that is 3 inches thick. So what's safe? For one person on foot, or if you're on skates or cross-country skis. Makes sense, real simple. Now let's go to the 4-inch thick ice. A snowmobile or small ATV. A few states considered 5 inches was necessary for these two machines. But continuing on with 4-inch thick ice, you can ice fish in a group of people walking in a single line. And you go like, well, why? Well, there are many nature hikes and and I'll get to a little bit of my stories because you know that I always have some cool stories that correlate to what we're speaking about. So I share that with you. Now going to 4 to 5 inch thick ice. Pond hockey. I sort of stopped for a second because I had the flashbacks of my pond hockey. And on that pond I told you that was only 2 inches thick. I used to skate there and my stick and taking the puck and this and that. And every now and then the older kids would ask me to play and I would be beaming. But I'd be beaming, and then I realized now is probably they asked me to play because they were shorthanded a guy. But it didn't matter because sooner or later, I was up there all the time with those guys, and I played hockey as my second sport growing up. 7 to 7.5 inch thick ice, a small car. 8 inch, 2.5 ton truck. 9 to 10 inch thick ice, 3.5 ton truck. 10 to 12 inches thick ice, 7 to 8 ton truck. So many of the listeners who live in warm climates are thinking, why in the world would you drive on the ice? So let's move to the northernmost states. Many people own their own ice shanty. Looks like a huge shed, but a beautiful looking shed. They have heaters on the inside. Some of them have beds on the inside. They're insulated. So when the ice is thick enough for your vehicle, you pull your shanty out on the lake for the winter. So basically, you're claiming this space. You punch your hole in the ice inside the shanty, and that's where you fish from. So anytime you want to fish, you either drive. So here you go. Your shanty's out there, and you're going, okay, so how do I get there now? Well, you can either drive your car. You can take a snowmobile or an ATV to your shanty, but the ice needs to be thick enough for the different vehicles, as I spoke to you. Well, now there's two variables you need to know. Ice closer to the shore is weaker than ice further out. And you go, well, why would that be? You see, because the shoreline, the soil colors there, they heat up quicker, which means that it's either going to take a longer time for that ice to freeze, or it's going to begin to melt a little quicker. Ice close to water inlets or outlets is weaker. When you go, okay, so why? It's either moving water or tidal water movements that's not going to give that the opportunity to freeze. So before I tell you a few stories of my ice adventures, which do have a safety lesson, I researched if you're driving in a car or a truck on the ice, and now you understand why, what safety precautions you should take. Your seatbelt should be off because, again, if you ever broke through, you have a quick exit. The doors should be unlocked. That is power and rescue because, you see, they're power locks. So if the power goes out, you know, you're in the water, you're already unlocked, and it's easy for someone to rescue you. Windows should be open. And if you don't know this, and hopefully, God forbid, it never happens to you, your truck is now going down in the water. If your windows are up and you're down on the bottom of a lake and you're trying to open the door, they will not open because there's uneven pressure. There's greater pressure outside your vehicle than inside your vehicle. So if there is water filling up your truck, and now all of a sudden your truck is being filled with water and there's water on the outside, there is equal pressure so you can actually open the doors easy for your own escape. And obviously this last one makes sense to travel at a slow speed. So I gave you specific rules, but as an environmental scientist, I must always look at variables. Now, if you have never heard the sound of ice cracking, I mean, not your ice, actually, here you go. You probably all have heard an ice cube. You put ice in a glass, you pour something a little bit warmer, and you hear that little crack. Now magnify that crack by thousands of times when ice, we'll say that is super, super thick, is cracking. It is one of the coolest sounds. Well, there are stress fractures on the ice, and you will get these cracks. And I'm going to say even an ice that's 4 and 5 inches thick, and you get these cracks that go on there. Well, here's an example. My buddy Dr. Dan and I many years ago were tracking some migrating bald eagles, and we're going to walk out onto the Delaware River. This is the first place the eagles stop during their migration because eagles, bald eagles, follow fish, and they're going to eat fish, and then as they get closer to the first lakes or rivers that don't freeze, and the Delaware is one that does not freeze solid. So what they do then is they're going to find these open pockets of water. So many researchers walk out on the ice, spotting scopes. So Dr. Dan and I are headed out, and we're on the ice. And we're walking on ice that's got to be like 4 or 5 easy inches thick. And with one of those stress fractures, you hear a crack. And we happen to be near the edge where the ice is not as thick. Remember, you see, those are the variables. And all of a sudden, it breaks, and Dr. Dan goes down with one leg and into the Delaware. And then pops back out onto the ice piece that did not break, and we scurried off the ice. And we realized that it does not matter how thick the ice is, we've got to look at fractures of ice. Then, another adventure, I'm out with David Alexander, and some of you have heard the podcast shows with David as my guest. David is the most brilliant naturalist I have ever met in this country, author, just all-around great outdoorsman, and more important, great, good man. Now, there should be more David Alexanders on Earth, and I really mean that. Well, he and I were snowshoeing one day, so we're out snowshoeing, and then across, where you know, the snow was covering the lake, and we're going to cross this, and again, small little lake, you know, from wetlands into a lake, and we're on the wetlands part, and all of a sudden, I break through, and one of my snowshoes, leg goes down, snowshoe goes to the bottom, and it's only about 3 feet deep, so I'm only about 3 feet of water, so I decided to safely, with my feet, sort of snuggle up to the snowshoe and pop it back out. So I rescued my snowshoe as well, and if I couldn't do that almost like in an instant, I would have lost a pair, but it would have been worth it. And then we started a fire near the side, so I was able to dry back out, and we continued off on our adventure. So I'm going to let you know that if you're out on ice, safety says the buddy system. Now, if you own a farm pond somewhere, well, then you're blessed, and I'll say that. So what safety rescue gear could you leave? And you could simply build like a latch box. You don't have to lock it at your farm, but the latch box to keep animals out of it. You know, a 4x6 box, 4 feet by 6. Well, what you should have inside there is a rope attached to a 20-inch ring buoy, and it must be Coast Guard approved. And those are the same ones, like if you see a cruise ship and you see the buoys that are out there, they look like donuts that you would just throw out to rescue someone. That's exactly, but you want a rope attached to it. You'd like a few PFDs inside that box. And next to it, if you have an aluminum one-piece ladder, because if the ice breaks and somebody is close to shore, one of the simple things to do is to put that ladder and just hold it out. It's literally on the ice, so you're kneeling on the ice near the edge, and put it out to them and where they can grab onto it. And you could simply pull the ladder and pull them in. And older ice rescues are done this way. But if you have an extra aluminum ladder, one piece, and the reason why I don't say two is you go, well, it'd be longer, but then you've got problems of it, you know, coming apart, could cause other problems. So those are things. Now, my buddy Doug, great friend of mine. We used to own a soccer camp upstate New York. He lives on Oneida Lake, 27-mile-long Finger Lake, just great, really, really near Lake Ontario. Well, his neighbor, Dick Lawrence, many years ago, would be ice fishing out there, and Doug would invite me up to there to go ice fishing. I go, no. And he knows my buddy Rich very well. And I said, I only ice fish the way that Rich and Scott ice fish. So the first time I was ever going ice fishing, and I'm going to say easy 20 years ago, Rich and Scott said to me, hey, you want to go? I said, sure. So they said, we'll meet you at your house to pick you up. So they picked me up and I said, what's it? He go, we got all the gear in the back. And we're starting to unload the gear. And one of the pieces of gear was this huge cooler filled with beer and steaks. I was like, oh, okay. And then they put it on a sled and all the other gear on sleds. And we walked across this huge reservoir. And what we did is, with a pry bar, started punching holes for the tip-ups. And there were homemade tip-ups. And the tip-ups are like the fishing rods that, and this is, you don't, now you use ice fishing rods, you know, the new things, but the tip-ups that Scott had created at Wood Lats, and they work really well. So what they did was, they did all this work, and then in the woods right next to it, they start a nice bonfire going, so you got a rip-roaring fire, they are drinking beer and eating steaks all day long, and I'm going, and I'm not a big beer guy. For me, it's like drinking a beer is a lot. So, but anyway, and I'm going, hey, this is the greatest way, because you're not cold at all. You're sitting by this rip-roaring fire. You're hanging out with your friends, obviously telling stories. And they don't have to be true because you're with your friends. I'm joking. And telling stories and sitting there. And if a tip-up goes down, you go out and get your fish. And then you go back to the fire. And you go back to having a steak. So to me, that's what ice fishing is about. So when Doug asked me about ice fishing up there in the cold on Lake Oneida, I told him about the Rich and Scott story, and he understood that. But hey, I love the outdoors. Weather to me does not matter. That's why they invented warm winter clothes. But safety does matter. Get out and enjoy, but always stay safe. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.